Hello and welcome to another episode of Review After Watching. I'm your host, Brandon Church, and this week we only have one movie for you, but it's a big one. Well, maybe not a big one, but one we've been looking forward to. Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley in a movie together? What? Chaos Walking, a movie based on a series of young adult novels that has a little bit of a tumultuous history. Maybe should have been released a couple of years ago, but audiences didn't seem to like it, and that immediately piqued my interest. So we're definitely going to be discussing that and a little bit more this week. But as always, before we jump into any of that, let me introduce the rest of the Raw crew, starting with Joshua.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? Feels good to be back, and I'm ready to get it. Let's do this.
All right, and the old man himself, Chris Sr.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, my people. Thank you for joining us. As always, remember, from the desert to the sea, we call the nation. Thank you for listening to our station. Glad to be here with you, sitting with you. Thank you for listening.
All right. Now that we got the intro out the way, how's everybody doing this week? It's been a lot of stuff going on, but how y'all doing? How you feeling?
Tired. Feeling really good.
Tired, beat up, sore.
Yeah, you sore? I mean, I'm sore. Yesterday we were all together for my little brother's birthday party. You know, it was a little bit of a thing. The first one we've had since all of this went down, but the majority of us and everybody there have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated. So we were like, you know what, let's try to get together. The only ones who weren't vaccinated, of course, were the kids. So we were out there playing football and, you know, throwing it around, flag football and stuff like that. So I understand why I'm tired and why Joshua might be, you know, my feet are killing me from doing all that running on the pavement. But you kind of standing still a bit. What you tired from?
Who, me?
Oh, yeah, you.
Let's see. All right, let's see. Set up, movement, lifting, hauling. I've been working on that party all week. Everything that needed to be done. That's incredible. My pain. This is standing over. I was not built standing and hauling stuff all day long.
I see. And then this is why you supervised us taking everything down, huh?
Yeah, but I was helping.
You know, go ahead and put that over there then, son, please.
Yeah, well, hey, somebody's got to. But I wasn't sitting supervised. I'm standing, walking, loading chairs. And I definitely have to use you guys right here. I can't put all this back. I have to call 9/11 on it. 9/11.
But it was a good party. We did have a good time. We didn't mind helping out clean up everything at the end. It was a good party. We had a lot of stuff. There were go-karts. It was a ton of fun. And I'm glad that everybody really enjoyed it. We were talking about it a little bit before we started officially recording, but yeah, it was a lot of good stuff happening. So that seemed like a pretty good week, but I know that Joshua, you know, got home and then he had some more things to do. So he ended up going to bed late.
Yeah. I didn't get to go to bed until like 2:30 AM or 3 o'clock in the morning. legitly, you know, even leaving the party, I had to get food with my lady, and you know, that was just a struggle because we both didn't know what we wanted to eat. Point is, we came back, watched the movies. I had to take her home, so I'm driving at midnight. Then I get home a little bit later. Then I have to start like the last movie at that point. I'm tiring. Actually, I'm actually pretty good. I got actually good amount of sleep. Got up this morning, my legs are not sore. You know, I've been doing a lot of Taekwondo, as you know, Brian. So, like, that's just like I've been doing a lot of leg workouts. So, my legs are just solid. I'm actually good. I got, like, no soreness. So,
yeah, my legs aren't sore. It was my feet. Like, my legs and everything else is fine. And actually, my feet are better this morning. But yesterday, when, like, I got home, we were just walking around. After I took my shoes off, after you know, you don't have the support from the soles anymore, like, and I was just walking around the floor. Yeah, that's what hurt. But today it's a little bit better than it was. But last night it was pretty bad. But my legs are good, you know.
It was an intense football game, y'all.
It was.
You guys were really going for the gusto.
Yeah, we just had like the There's a scene in Step Brothers where they were like adults versus the kids, and they were just like, the adults were taking it very seriously. And that's how I kind of felt. Like, I was especially on the team where we all just looked at each other. It's like, we ain't gonna let these kids beat us. It's like, no. And we all felt that way because, like, as soon as the game was about to start, like two or three kids were inside the house and got, like, football gloves on. They put on the cleats. I'm like, and we're like, oh, this is getting serious. What's happening?
They take football serious around. Yeah.
There's no medals for participation on that block. You got to win.
Everybody was trying to win. So,
I mean, your girlfriend jumping up in the air, falling down on her back. Father son's fiance smashing into stuff.
Yeah,
you smashing into a car.
People, you have to recognize this is not like on grass or at a park or nice. No, this was on the street. So she's dive tackling, she's rolling around, catching these balls. I mean, it was intense. Kids got ran over a few times, you know.
Yep. Car got dented.
Yeah, the car got dented.
You were taking it serious, man. My gosh, she took a few falls, man, but she got right back up. She's a trooper. You know.
She was. I really thought I thought she was hurt. That one where she went straight up and landed on her back. I was like, oh. Hey. She popped right back up.
Oh yeah, man. She's an athlete, so she's used to the taking that type of hit or damage, all the stuff. Which is like, yeah, which is great, but because you know sometimes
you get intimidated.
Not intimidated. It's just like, so like she's, I know she's tougher than she is. And so like, if I accidentally like step on her foot, she'd be like, ah, like, why would you do this and all that? I'm like, what are you talking about? It was like, I lightly stepped on it, you know, cause I'm clumsy sometimes, but like, she like I said, she can just, you know, jump in the air, catch a ball and land on like the road, straight gravel and get up like it's nothing. So
yeah, no, that I accidentally stepped on your, that's the girlfriend guilt, man. That's a tactic.
Yeah.
Hey, yep. I saw you trying to step up your madness, but he was exposing your weakness. She was balling. Really balling. Chris was fine, my other son, the other brother is not here. I never seen him be so aggressive in sports. He was trying to show off for his fiance as well. He was jumping up, grabbing, snatching the ball out of there, running like he was a tailback on a plow through thing. I'm like, wow, a girl can influence you. Look what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he definitely, I think Chris was what, who set off the mood. Cause I think that first like throwback, like he just took off full sprinting and we just had to meet the challenge. Right, Brad? At that point.
Yeah. It was his girl. It was his fiance because she was trash talking. She pulled all the kids together into a huddle. It was explaining the plays they were going to run. Like she went out and was very, she, you know, from the beginning, she let us know like, yo, I played this for a long time. Where I grew up, I know what I'm doing.
That was exciting. The both girlfriends were balling. Serious balling. Taking this game 100% serious. More serious than anybody. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
They were definitely going at it, man. You know, I just want to say, I had a few interceptions myself, you know. I'll just put the spotlight on
me. No, he ran one all the way back. It was beautiful.
Good game. I mean,
you guys on defense.
You guys were playing it so seriously. All of a sudden, there's flea flickers. I said, what the heck? And then Brandon and a quarterback sneak. Oh, okay. You guys are not even kids. They're not looking like for these design plays.
That was like the play of the game, Brad. I didn't even know he was going to do it.
I wasn't sure. And then I looked and I saw that there was an open. I was like, you know, we can make this work. So I just went for it.
Yeah, because I'm not even sure you can do a quarterback sneak in flag football.
Hey.
In two-hand touch. Nobody was expecting that.
I mean, he wasn't the first quarterback in that game trying to run the ball. Somebody else did on the other team. So he was just, you know, hey, if they could do it, we could do it.
You know.
Hey, but the other team had 0 points to your dad, a.k.a. Tom Brady, came in there and started bombing. Getting those points.
I'm sorry, you said Jamarcus Russell, right?
Yeah, that's why I said I was Tom Brady. Yeah, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, I'm all of those guys.
But you know, what's funny as you think about it, because I just thought about it right now. Like, we were talking about how the girlfriends were out there just playing it, putting their hearts into it, but all the wives, they were nowhere to be seen.
Yo,
that's what happens once you get that wife status, and all that's got to stop. You don't need to put in that effort no more. You got us. We're locked in.
Right.
They all stay near the food and drink.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. They, the drink is the correct term. But it was good stuff. It was good stuff. Oh, it was a lot of fun. Good amount of chaos. And since we're going to talk about chaos, we should jump into our one and only review for this week. We have a lot of stuff to get through today. So for those out there who haven't heard of this movie, it's called Chaos Walking. It's based on a series of books. And the first book is called The Knife of Never Letting Go. And that's what this movie is basically adapting. So for those of you who don't know, Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley had been, they weren't rumored, but they were confirmed to star in this film. And it was a big deal when they announced it like 2 years ago, because this was before Rise of Skywalker came out. Avengers had already come out. Spider-Man Far From Home. So the two kind of were at the height of their careers, at least at this point, and people are really anticipating to see what they'd be able to do together. And I was looking forward to it as well. And so it had a bit of a problem during its filming. From what I understand, when they showed it to audiences, test audiences hated it. And they said it was unreleasable. It was that bad of a film. And so they went through numerous reshoots, but they had to wait until Spider-Man was finished filming. They had to wait until Star Wars was finished filming. All of these different things prevented them from coming back for reshoots. So when they finally got around to it, I think it was like 2 or 3 years later from its original release date before it finally came out. And even then, we've been looking for this film for like a couple of months. And it just now was made widely available, and it was supposed to be available, I want to say, towards the beginning of the year, maybe January or February. So all of that, it doesn't leave you with the most amount of confidence for this film, right? You're thinking, okay, test audiences hated it. It's going to be a bomb. It is not going to be an interesting film. So I really wanted to see it for that reason, because I wanted to know, what is this? Like, I've never read the books. I don't know anything about the series. How bad could this possibly be with the talent that they have in it? So the basic premise of the film is that they're no longer on Earth. Earth is, all the humans have been leaving Earth to try and colonize other planets. And on this one particular planet that they land on, for some reason, all of the thoughts of men are just visible. They call it noise, but there's a visual representation. You can see people's thoughts. You can hear everybody's thoughts. You cannot really have too much privacy. Now, there are people who can control it better than others, but the majority of people, that is an open book. You can hear everything that they're thinking. And like I said, this only applies to the men. For whatever reason, the women are unaffected. And so that, as you can imagine, leads to a bit of controversy and a schism throughout the film. So, interestingly enough, and this is the first thing I want to talk about, outside of Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley, I didn't know anybody else was in this movie. But then as I started watching it, suddenly we got Mads Mikkelsen. We got, oh my gosh, what is her name right now? We have all of these actors and actresses, and you're like, whoa, there's a ton of people in here that I did not expect. And these are significant names. Cynthia Erivo is in here. There's some big names. So they had a lot of high expectations for this film going into it, because these guys all signed up. And to be honest, they put in work. It wasn't like they just sat back and relaxed. They actually acted their butts off in this and felt like they wanted to be here. What did you guys think about, like, just the premise of the film in general?
I mean, I thought it was an interesting concept. I mean, it's interesting. You know, there was a movie, I think, was it with Mel Gibson, or when he was like reading the thoughts of other women and kind of stuff. So I guess it was like a vice versa. What women want. So you can read the thoughts of everybody. And this is not the exact same thing, but it was interesting to see you could hear the thoughts of all the other people. That was fine. They don't really go into why that is in the film, which is kind of what intrigued me to care about the film in the first place. Like, that was like the catch for me, right? Like, from like the trailer. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. It seemed okay. It didn't have anything else special to draw me in. I mean, the casting was great. Like you said, Brian, there's a lot of people that are not expected to be in this film that they were. I'm like, oh, wow. It's more than just Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley. So.
Yeah, I mean, the main villain was Mads Mikkelsen, which I did not. When he showed up on screen, I was like, whoa, I didn't know he was in this movie. We had, like I said, Cynthia Erivo. Then you had David Oyelowo. Then you had Demian Bashir, Kurt Sutter, the guy who created Sons of Anarchy was in this film. Nick Jonas is in this movie. I mean, there's so many people in this film, and it was really a shock. I was surprised, and I think that most people were expecting this to be the next big young adult film franchise, right? You had... You know, of course, you had Harry Potter. Then what was the other one? The Maze Runner franchise. People were thinking it was going to be the next one like that. I don't know if it's going to continue, but it was at least something that they could see it having potential. Because from what I understand, the books are really, really good. So, Dad, did you know anything about this when we started watching it?
Never heard of it before. Never heard the books. Had no idea what was going on. And I, you know, felt that way from the very beginning of the movie as well. What is happening?
Yeah.
Who are you talking to? What's going on? What's happening? Took a while for it to start to come together where I could figure out what was going on. I mean, they did finally explain it all, but it was a weird movie starting out. I had never heard of it. I didn't even know there was any buzz about this.
Yeah, there was a lot of buzz. They filmed this, like I said, in 2017. And then they started, it was supposed to be released in 2019. And then, of course, like they had reshoots, all the stuff that I mentioned. But it was what drew me in when they first announced it. And I've been reading more and more about it as it was getting closer to it eventually coming out. Was that Tom Holland really put in work. And you could see it in his acting in this film, right? He definitely embodied that character. He put in everything that he could into this role. And he's a fantastic actor. Like, you've seen him in all the Spider-Man movies. And, you know, he has range more than you would expect. He can cry on command. He just has so much depth as an artist. And in this film, he put in everything. He's not a full-on method actor, but he kind of embodies some of that. Like, he almost drowned. There's a scene where they are in water and he went so hard trying to do all this stuff that he was under the water for too long and he almost drowned. I think he taught himself, kind of like Tom Cruise did, to breathe underwater for a certain amount of time just for that one scene. So yeah, he puts in a lot of effort and a lot of work. And, you know, out of everything you want to say in this film, I know that, Dad, you mentioned it was confusing. I think that's what shines out of everything. The plot itself is not bad. It's more like it's kind of predictable. This is not it's a young adult novel. That's what it's adapted from. So the plot itself is kind of like, well, I knew this was going to be the twist. I knew this was going to be the thing. I've seen this type of story before. The only real change is this hearing everybody's thoughts thing, which is interesting. But everything else is kind of whatever. But the acting of everybody, and they really brought their A game, made me want to keep watching every scene. It kept me engaged in the film more than I would have been otherwise. That said, there are a lot of missteps. there are quite a few missteps, in my opinion. The first one is that there's a native species. Remember, this is not Earth. This is another planet that we've come to colonize. And there's, you know, there's going to be native creatures. And there's a native species on this planet that they constantly mention. They say, oh, this is a threat. We have to look out for this particular species and all of this stuff. And they're seen once in the film, never again. And it was kind of like, why'd you even introduce them? I thought they would have a much bigger role as many times as they mentioned them throughout the entire opening act of the film. So that was a little strange. What did you guys feel about that? Because that it was a big moment when that finally happened, and then it just kind of got dropped.
I mean, I kind of have the same thoughts that you have, Brandon. I just, like, you know, it's like you keep mentioning them through the film, and then when they finally do show up, they're never shown again in the rest of the film. And it's like, it seems like the characters themselves forget about them afterwards. Like, I feel like nobody really had a reaction to, you know, what just happened. So it just kind of felt like, was something else cut in the film to, like, not, like, did they just leave the explanation out? Like, you said, I did not know this was a book, so.
It's a series of books. It's a whole, it's like four or five of them.
I thought it was a trilogy. Just from my Google search right now, because I was like, what, this is a book? Because I really didn't know. And I guess that kind of changes my opinion on this film, because I was, like, critical of it. But it just, maybe they show up in the later book. I don't know. It just felt like a, you know, a useless scene, you know, in movies. I think earlier this week we were talking about scenes that just seemed to be forced to be added. And this was, like, one of them. It's just like, okay, what did this really accomplish? It's basically is what I felt after watching it, you know, and just, like, being critical about it. But I don't know. I guess I wanted more. They seem to be hyping them up the entire movie. So.
Well, I have a question. Maybe one. But were those in the opening part of the movie? He kills one of those spores climbing up the tree with his knife. Is that actually, does that spore actually change into the alien?
No.
Because that's what he's saying in his thought bubbles. He's saying, yeah, this wiped out, yada, yada, yada. And then eventually we see alien. So I'm like, okay, so did the spore become the alien? Or is it the two different species and two different sets of problems?
I mean, you know what? Possibly. I was just under the impression that it's another group of things that are, like, predatory. You know, they seemed like at the very beginning he kills, like, this bug on a tree, and it seems like, and then he feeds it to his dog. So maybe, like, they can overwhelm creek people, like, if they come in great numbers, because there was a lot of them. So maybe they're a threat. They just, you know, kind of, like, attack you like ants, but bigger to kill humans or something like that. But it's entirely possible that they are, you know.
That's why I figured that was their larva stage or something.
Yeah, it's possible.
There wasn't enough information that was given to that in terms of the acting. As you said, the acting was good. I didn't think of Tom Holland once as Spider-Man all the way through the book. It didn't occur to me. And Daisy, hers was good. I didn't even make the connection that she was the same young lady in the Star Wars actor. It didn't connect in my head at all. So her performance was stellar. And the rest, I think, mostly. Like many of these movies, sometimes they have great acting. Somewhere in the directing, somewhere in the editing, somewhere in their storyboarding, this movie goes off script. And learning, as Joshua said, that this is a series of young people books and sci-fi books, those are always hard to translate. There's a lot of information the books always provide that give it a depth of richness, which makes it a really good book. That usually would take a mini series to put on the screen. I think when they take on these types of projects, and I know everybody's looking for, you know, they want a Marvel run, a DC run. They want something that continues all the time. These are some of the inherent problems that you're going to find in trying to make franchise type movies. Unless you're willing to do a whole lot of background, you've committed to several movies, it's not going to translate. And then your first movie really has to knock it out of the park. You have to give a lot of information and make it exciting and make it where people want to come back. This movie didn't do, what was the young wolf and vampire series?
Twilight.
Okay. I had a feeling they were trying to get this type of franchise where the young people were reading it and just based upon the fandom would sustain it for movie two. But there's so much information that was missing on the screen.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because normally I agree with you 100%. But the funny thing is, the writer of this film is the author. The author of the book wrote the screenplay.
Wow. That's interesting.
So I was reading up on it after the film. And from what I understand, he actually did a really good job at adapting it. Like they say that a lot of the stuff happened. There were obviously some changes here and there. One of the biggest changes that they had was that in the books, apparently, you don't just hear men's thoughts. You can also hear animals. So the dog that Tom Holland's character has is huge because he was talking with his dog all the time.
Yes.
So in the books, he could talk to animals, and it was only women who were unaffected, which will also lead into the plot and why that was more significant, that they really didn't dig into so much into this in the film. But that's why things transitioned the way that they do, because everybody has this ability except for women. So, yeah, so there was a couple of changes and some stuff like that. But by and large, from what I understood, he kept pretty true to the books in a lot of respects. But I think the problem is, again, yeah, you're right. He's a author, not necessarily a screenwriter. And so this first time he's jumping in trying to do this, maybe he missed out on some of the details that people would need. Right. You know the story backwards and forwards. You know everything that goes into it. So when you're starting it off and the first thing we see is just the noise and it's not really explained, I can see that being confusing for people. They're not really understanding what the heck is going on. And I was already apprehensive when they start off the film with text. When you have to start off a film explaining some stuff with text, usually, not always, but usually, that's a bad sign. So, it definitely had some problems. I didn't think that it was as successful as it could have been in conveying the story.
Yeah, it messed all up. I definitely agree. Not all authors would make great screenwriters. Usually you're writing like because you live with this material day in and day out, you live with it, that you're assuming everybody knows these pieces or you're leaving out very necessary pieces. And that definitely showed here, as well as the editing of how you're combining and putting the story together. It wasn't being conveyed. It was very, very confusing. We needed something to explain. I mean, they did eventually, but we still don't really understand why women can't do the thought bubble. We don't understand why.
It's no explanation is given.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. They never explain anything.
which is paramount to the story. We really don't understand how come coming through this atmosphere, the spacecraft, don't make it. How come they can't make it through this atmosphere? Why is everybody crashing?
Yeah.
I mean,
why did it go haywire? Why all of a sudden do thought bubbles start occurring? What's causing this?
And I also had the question, and this wasn't brought up in the film or anything, but I was always wondering, like, if you left the planet, is it permanent? Is it only an effect that occurs while you're on the surface? Curious.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe all these things would have been hopefully addressed in subsequent movies.
Probably.
But yeah. I don't think there's going to be any subsequent. Doesn't have the gravitas to keep you interested in moving forward, unless the fandom really enjoyed it. But according to my notes, they didn't find it that impressive.
Yeah, they didn't
They were very disappointed.
Yeah. Like, it was an editing limbo for like 3+ years. So it's just like, I don't know if the fan is really feeling it too. And it's kind of weird, like the thought bubbles are never explained. I guess it being a series of books felt makes more sense, but the movie kind of ended abruptly for me. You know, I was just like, oh, okay, that's like
I didn't feel like it had like a cliffhanger where like you felt like there was a sequel or something, right?
No.
Mother owner of the sink.
Not yet. No, you're right. You're right.
So it's just like, I'm like, oh, okay. So that's why I was even more critical of this film. Like, what is this? I feel like nothing got explained. And this is all the film was, like, at the end of the day. So, I mean, that makes it, I guess that's what makes the film a little bit more tough, because I think it's built for a sequel, but going the blind, not knowing what it is as a standalone, is just like, it doesn't feel like it's built for a sequel at all. And it just kind of ends abruptly. I'm like, okay. You know, it sucks because, like, I love young adult book movies. I, you know, Dad, you know, you can speak to this. I used to read them all the time as a kid and go see the movies. So, like, I'm a fan of this genre in general. But this one was just not – I don't know, man. It just was not hitting for me the same. But, like, the acting was good. The visuals were good. They had, like – I could see they put a lot of, like – this was supposed to be something. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, they put over $100 million into this film.
It's a colossal cluster because you don't know exactly what happened. You have a quality director. This guy directed the Born Identity, Mr. and Mr. Smith, Swingers, some very good movie. You got a very popular book. You got Class A actors. And somehow putting all this great stuff in the you know, mixing bowl, the cake didn't rise. Cake fell. You need to throw it out. I don't know how they did it. It's very interesting. My analysis, like Doug Lean, maybe he shouldn't have directed it. He's better at a different type of movie. This is strictly a sci-fi movie. It didn't stay. There were some romance elements to it because what's his name? Tom Holland's character likes the girl, et cetera, but it's not really his best directing genre. He can tell a story, but a different type of story.
Well, I mean,
he like the girl?
He did Live, Die, Repeat. What's that movie called? The Tom Cruise movie where he keeps repeating things over and over in the military.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, yeah. So he can do that story. I think he just... Sometimes when you get all of the right ingredients, it just doesn't work out. And this is an example of that. And I think, to me, it's extremely disappointing because I know we're talking a lot of the negatives about the film, but I do want to make it clear, at least from my perspective, that I didn't dislike watching it. Like, I kind of enjoyed the film in some respects. I know it has a lot of flaws. I know there's a lot of problems with it, but I wasn't bored. I didn't sit there and be like, oh, I'm just waiting for this scene to end. Can we finally get to the conclusion? I was engaged. I was interested in seeing what happened. And there was a lot of moments of levity. Tom Holland is exceptional. I want to emphasize that. Because, again, everything is with the noise. You're doing things in people's heads. You hear what they're thinking. You get to see it visually represented. As Joshua mentioned, the effects, the visual effects are top tier. They're really, really well done. And so because of that, he has to go into a sound studio and then record his stuff after the fact. So all of the acting he's doing is based upon him knowing what he's going to say later. And when he adds it in later, it fits perfectly. And that takes some talent. That's not easy to do. And so when they do the jokes.
It is notable.
Yeah, when they do the jokes, you know, he's thinking about the girl or that one scene in the rain, which is my favorite scene. You know, it really hits, and he does a very good job of conveying those moments. So again, every individual scene I was more and more interested in. It's when they got really into the major plot that it kind of fell apart. Cause you're like, well, why is this character so adamant about doing this? Right. And why is this character like, you know, he's supposed to be an outcast, but then he's like leading this charge. I don't understand what's going on here. Certain details are missing. But if you're going into this film just wanting to see something interesting that's going to keep your attention for an extended period of time, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Just know that you may not get the resolution you're looking for. And if you do fall in love with it, I'm sorry, there ain't going to be a sequel. I recommend you get the books, because I don't think you're going to have the ability to see more of these characters together on screen, which is sad.
Well, it's interesting. Tom Holland does play all the... You can see why he makes such an excellent Spider-Man. His quirkiness carries over into all of his roles. His subconscious face movements, his jittering, his talking to himself. Basically, he brings that same kind of energy and quirkiness to Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Seen him, I forget the English... talk show interview, where he's on his
Graham
show.
Norton, right?
Graham, yes. Where he just sit there and jump and do a backflip, and he's quirky. So this is part of his personality. He does give it 100%. So he was able to sell or convey the movie well. And I agree with you. It was an enjoyable movie to watch, but there were some fundamental problems with the movie that left me feeling empty toward the end. Again, for me, in certain key questions always have to be addressed, have to be answered. Why we're doing this, what's our motivation, how, if there's something unique that's happening in a movie, how did this happen, why did this happen? And you have to answer the how, why, when. You just have to in movies, especially if something that isn't ordinary. You know, boy meets girl, fall in love, but boy meets girl in space, alien monster chasing them, wanting his Nike Air Jordan. Why? Okay. Why? Why does he want the Nike Air Jordan? He would have to explain that. Yeah. You just can't have the creature chasing him for his Nike Air Jordan. Things have to be explained, but it is enjoyable. It's not a horrible movie, but certain key elements are missing, and it is enjoyable. It will engage you, and it's not a torture to get to film. Once you figure out what's going on, just still be kind of empty because it never completely answers the immediate questions that jump in your head.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just like, I echo everything you guys say. Like, the film is engaging and you keep going. I guess the best way I could describe it, it just felt like 2 hours of buildups or something and like kind of no payoff. And you can enjoy watching the film. It's just, I guess I only have, I thought, finish a movie if I sit back and think about what I'll watch, and that's just like where this film falls apart for me. I think in the moment I was engaged, I was interested to find out what happens, but in hindsight it's just like, what is this? Like, even the antagonist of this film, I felt like I only knew he was the antagonist because of the music. I really didn't understand his motivations at the time, or like why he was doing what he was doing. It just,
The antagonist, they did not do right. His motivations were weak, and they really needed to explain that a lot more than they did.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that's what the sequel movies are for, like the books are for, but it's just like, I don't know. I feel like they should have done something a little bit more. They needed to change something for the screen. But yeah, I mean, I think you can enjoy it, but like, maybe if you're a fan of the books, this is for you, and hopefully they'll get enough funding for the sequel to flesh it out. Because as just a regular viewer right now, it's just, it's kind of hard to find something particular. I don't know.
I hear you.
That's just my perspective.
No, I hear you. And you know what? I got the books because I was very interested. So I went ahead and grabbed some of the Kindles. I wanted to read them. I had wanted to read them before, so it's on my list of stuff to read. But the thing is, like that climax of the film, the way that kind of ended was, it didn't make any sense based upon everything they've explained thus far. Do you know what I'm talking about, Josh?
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. It was like, wait, where, how did this happen? Where did this come from? It, like, everything that they've explained thus far and how things work, the way that they address the climax doesn't fit with any of the rules they set. It's just like something that came out of complete left field that made no sense and was annoying to me. That was the most disappointing thing, because you already have, like we mentioned, like Joshua, you just said, like the antagonist's motivations are not clearly explained. And when you get to the climax of the film, the way that is resolved is just completely out of left field, one, and two, breaks all of the rules you've previously established. So those two things combined really leave that ending with a sour taste in my mouth. It didn't feel earned.
Exactly. It didn't feel earned. And it's strange because that's a good literary device, is you establish rules and law of the world, and to do a twist, a turn, a good thing you would do is you create something or a character or an action that just breaks the rules and the foundation that you have established, right? That's a good literary tool, you know, just to flip it on its head. And it didn't work in the situation. And I guess you said it best. It's like, it didn't feel earned. And yeah.
I was just gonna say, yeah, when they do that in other things, when they set establish rules and then suddenly as a cliffhanger that somebody breaks those rules, that's always, when that's done, it's done well because the rules that the character believes are true turn out to be false. But that doesn't work in this context, right? Like sometimes, like let's say it's magic and all of a sudden, like, oh, you can't go above magic level 2, it's impossible. And then suddenly somebody comes up with magic level 6. You're like, how is that possible? Well, level 2 was never the limit. That's just what they told you, right? That's how you can explain those things. But in this instance, the way they've explained the way these powers work, it's literally impossible for the climax to have been resolved the way that it was. It was just like, what? So maybe in the books it's different. I'm very curious about that. Maybe it's explained in an entirely different way. But I did not get that. I did not get that at all. If people are curious, maybe after we do the credits and everything, I'll give a little quick explanation as to what happened. But man, that did not work at all.
Yeah, I'm all right there with you. It didn't work at all.
I agree.
Anyway.
Definitely agree.
So, you know, we'll see. I know we wanted to review another one of Tom Holland's movies, Cherry, that did come out. I really want to follow this guy's career. I think he's a great actor and can do a whole lot. He's so young. He has the ability to just kind of just take it by storm. And he seems to be picking some pretty good roles. The next major one that he'll be doing is the Uncharted franchise, a video game franchise that he is taking on, starring alongside Marky Mark. Whose name I can't remember right now, Mark Wahlberg. So that should be interesting to see. So I'm looking forward to that. And again, from what I understand, he nearly killed himself doing some of these stunts because he goes all in when he decides he's going to play these roles. And he really puts everything he can into them. So I think he said he got more injured doing that film than he had doing any of the Spider-Man ones. So.
Dude, that's good news, because I'm curious to see what Tom Holland brings into the future. I mean, he does his own stunts. His first name is Tom. I'm liking where this is heading. So, like...
Oh, God. You know, I didn't know he was such a big Tom Cruise fan until Brandon started teasing me.
Yeah, you know, it's
I like Tom Cruise, but I didn't know you were that big of a fan.
Yeah, it's like
Team
America. What's
your favorite Tom Cruise movie, Joshua?
You remember Team America when Matt Damon showed up? And the only thing he can say is Matt Damon. Remember that? Team America World Police. That's like whenever you mention any other actor, that's all Joshua says. Tom Cruise. That's all he sees.
What's your favorite Tom Cruise movie, Joshua?
You there, Josh?
Joshua.
Yeah, sorry about that. My favorite Tom Cruise movie, it's kind of hard to place, but I would.
He muted himself again somehow on accident.
Okay. Right when he had to declare which was his favorite movie.
He was going to say Risky Business.
the one where he's walking.
Yeah.
The one where he was talking.
Well, he's definitely running would be the one. I think I really liked it's kind of hard. Like, I don't really have a favorite Tom Cruise movie. I might say Ghost Protocol, like Mission Impossible series, or even Edge of Tomorrow. It's more so that, like, even War of the Worlds. It's just like It's something about when he has a film that it just reminds, it's a movie. It's kind of like Studio 51, the video game producer, Brandon, where he just like, it reminds you that it's just a video game. It doesn't need to be taken so serious. Like he just seems like he's just making a movie for a movie's sake. It's not like supposed to be introspective about the human experience, some like Oscar Academy Award winning thing. It's just like you playing with this medium that you can kind of do anything. It just kind of has this pace to it that's supposed to be enjoyable. Like you go and sit down for 2 hours and you kind of get what you want. So it just, I don't know. He consistently picks those type of films and those always blockbusters.
So let me tell you what I heard you say. I love every Tom Cruise movie ever made.
No, because I don't like Vanilla Sky.
You don't like Vanilla Sky?
Nah, I don't like Vanilla
Sky. I love that movie. That's what I really like that movie.
Yeah.
What about Interview with a Vampire? You like that?
You know, because I'm also a fan of Brad Pitt, so when I heard they did a movie together, I watched it. I did enjoy the movie. It's very Victorian and super long, but it's good. So,
what about the one where he and Nicole Kidman are immigrants?
You talking about Eyes Wide Shut?
No, they're just coming into the country. This is when he met her and fell in love with her for real life. They're immigrants.
I don't remember that movie.
Hell's Kitchen in New York. I forgot what it's called.
I don't even know.
You don't know? You're the best, biggest Tom Cruise fan in the world, and you don't know this movie?
Nope, I don't know this movie.
Have you seen Eyes Wide Shut since I brought it up?
I mean, no, I haven't seen every Tom Cruise film on this planet. Like, that one wasn't our top better. I mean, more Johnny Depp than Tom Cruise, but that's just me, so.
So you were real excited when the Dark Universe was announced and they were supposed to be doing movies together.
Yeah, you have no idea. Like, honestly, you don't have no idea. And that movie fell flat. I think the only person I actually enjoyed The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
I think you are, because I did not like that.
Oh my God.
Well, we'll see what happens. He's got some stuff coming on, Mission Impossible. And
got Top Gun Part 2 coming out.
Yeah, both of those have been delayed a little bit. But yeah, they're coming out.
But they've been completely filmed. Right.
Yeah, I think they're doing. They're still finishing up some filming or doing some researches and things, but they've been delayed because of the. Tom Cruise is all about that COVID protocol. There was that audio where he came out yelling at people because they weren't following the protocol properly. You know, because he's producer of a lot of these films. He runs his own show now, so no, it has to be done right, and so that's delayed things a little bit. But they're definitely coming out. They are definitely coming out.
Yeah, he had like the opposite of the Christian Bale moment. Like Christian Bale was like yelling at somebody on the set of Terminator for ruining a shot. Like Tom Cruise was like yelling and cussing out his team, but for the right reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Because they weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, beyond he ain't trying to get in trouble. He's you know, this is again his production company. He don't want no lawsuits. He don't want no issues. He don't want no delays if he can avoid it. So, no, step up and do what you're supposed to do. So we will see about all of those. And we'll discuss them here. We will definitely discuss all of them here. I know Joshua. I might let him host the Tom Cruise, the Mission Impossible, and the Top Gun one. Just let him run with it.
Yeah, man. Do it. I'm down. Let's get it.
All right, everybody, but you've heard our thoughts on Chaos Walking. If you had any interest in it, like I said, it's an enjoyable romp. I don't know if you should pay full price for it. Maybe wait until it comes out on Netflix or even HBO Max if it comes there. I don't think it will. But any of those streaming services. Right now, you can see it at the theater. If you can find it on a matinee price or one of those dollar theaters that show up, I think it'd be a good thing to go check it out there. But it's not worth a full price ticket. It's not worth a $20 rental fee on Amazon and different places. It's more or less something that you can enjoy if you really don't have anything to do or you're looking for something mildly entertaining on Netflix one day. So hold off. And if the story does sound interesting, hearing everybody's thoughts, I would recommend reading the books. I haven't read them myself, but I've heard good things. And I'm always about people reading. So take a look at those. Let us know your thoughts on them. But for now, Oh, wait, before I actually end the show. I forgot. Oh, so the Oscars are coming up. People, the Oscars are coming up. April 25th. Coming up pretty soon, towards the end of the month. And so what we're going to be doing here at Review After Watching is something a little special. We are going to be doing reviews for every single movie nominated for Best Picture. Some of them we've already done full reviews of on the channel. Some of them we have not. But we're going to be discussing them, leading all the way up to a final Oscar prediction episode that we will be doing as a special. So starting this Friday, April 16th, every day all the way up until the Oscars air on the 25th of April, we will have a new episode for you every single day. Now, they're not going to be full-blown hour-long episodes. They'll be about 15, 20 minutes, specifically reviewing one film. So you'll be able to get a chance to see what our thoughts are on every single movie nominated for Best Picture before we finally get to the big special where we reveal which ones we think will win and why. And we're not going to be doing just the Best Picture. We'll be doing some of the major categories, Best Director, Best Screenplay, things like that. So you want to tune in for all of that if you want to hear our thoughts on every single film and really kind of join us. We would love it if you guys would actually follow along with us. And maybe we'll put something up on the website that you guys can join and we can all see where the audience thinks the movies are going to win. So that would be a great idea. So follow us and download each one of those episodes as you can. Oh, all right. But we are going to get up out of here. So for now, that's our show. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Josh. And thank all of you out there for listening. Review After Watching can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and all other podcast services. If you like what you hear, subscribe to us on your favorite one. Or if you love what you hear, subscribe to us on all of them. And hey, we want you to be a part of the show too. So if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or corrections, you can send it directly to us by our voicemail line at 424-290-1384. And don't forget, beginning Friday, April 16th, we will be releasing an episode every single day leading up to the Academy Awards, reviewing each movie in the Best Picture category. But before we get up out of here, we are going to do our patented words of wisdom from Joshua Church.
Hey, everybody. My word of wisdom is I actually don't have anything this week.
Yes, he's not wise. What's the dad do? Go ahead. You going to say it from there?
Go, Dad.
Go ahead, Dad. What you got?
Hey, everybody. Take time to enjoy your family. Enjoy your loved ones. If it hasn't been clear enough during this COVID epidemic, that life is precious. These moments are hard to give back. For those of you that enjoy your familial experience, spending quality love time with your relatives, for those who live within your pod or directly within your home, I'm happy for you. For those of you who didn't enjoy the experience, life is short. Go out and find something to make yourself happy. Don't wallow. Enjoy your time.
That was beautiful.
Oh my God. I know.
Oh, Josh, you got a lot to learn. Thank you all, and we'll see you again next week.
This has been an Audio Mind production.